52 American people, not Africans or Thai or Haitians, but Americans. 652 of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 5 nights. Everybody's wanting my elders. We want them too. God bless you, Brother Witt. Over 700 they've counted. All right, the verification is now over 700 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in those crusades. Isn't that great? Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. We've had a number of new people added to our church since I've taught these things to you. You've seen it practiced among us. But I think it's the will of God for every single born-again person to know how to pray somebody through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You do not have to be a preacher. You do need to be filled with the Holy Ghost in order to pray someone through the Holy Ghost. And there are some few little things that we can give you to help you to understand the Scripture. We're going to take our lesson from the book of Acts. We're not going to pay too much attention to tradition, custom, culture. We're going to pay attention to the Word of God.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Amen.
And I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts. And I shall begin reading with chapter 1 and verse 8. Chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power when? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. It doesn't say after you're called to preach. It doesn't say after you're ordained a minister. After you receive the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
You become a witness and a minister of Almighty God.
Amen.
And ought to be able to minister to someone. If someone walks up to you and says, I need the Holy Ghost, I don't have the Holy Ghost, you ought to be able to pray them through. If they're repented, they of course have to be repented. And they can't receive the Holy Ghost unless they are repented. We know that to be a fact. But if they are repented and forgiven, then we ought to be able to pray them through anywhere. In their home, in a store. Isn't that true? I've had people pray through on the airplane before. You get the Holy Ghost talking in tongues right on the airplane. You believe me, that got a lot of attention. The attendants came around and wanted to know if everybody was okay. I said, never been better in our lives. We was talking in tongues. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it is a demonstration of the power of God. In Acts chapter 2, beginning with the very first verse, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. Everybody say one accord.
One accord.
In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all, everybody say all, filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now if you'll turn with me to chapter 8, please. Chapter 8 of the same book of Acts. Chapter 8, beginning with verse 14. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, where is the next place they received the Holy Ghost? It's in the 10th chapter of Acts, isn't that right? So if you'll turn with me to chapter 10, and I shall begin reading with verse 44, where the Holy Ghost fell on the household of Cornelius. Chapter 10, beginning with verse 44. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, or those that were Jews were astonished, as those that came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? They didn't believe they could get it, but how did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, there's another place that people received the Holy Ghost. Where was that? 19th chapter. So if you'll turn with me to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 1. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples." Everybody say, "certain disciples." "He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Now these are the scriptural references in the book of the Acts of the Apostles everywhere where they received the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, they also received the Holy Ghost in a mighty outpouring. First 120, and then 3,000 was added to the church in that very day. Praise God.
Amen.
And we want to base the teaching that I bring to you tonight. Some of you have already heard it, but you need to hear it again. We need to refresh ourselves. We need to be very, very efficient in praying someone through the Holy Ghost. I want to emphasize that everybody that has the Holy Ghost ought to be able to pray somebody through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If they have repented.
Amen.
Amen? Be able to instruct them. Because in my opinion, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is the greatest miracle that God performs today.
Amen.
And we're in the time when God is pouring out the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Look at here at these places where the church has been involved. El Salvador, 3,000 in one day. Papua New Guinea, 4,000 in one day. Papua New Guinea, 3,000 in one day. And last year, this year, over 7,000 filled with the Holy Ghost in one single service. Ethiopia, the first year, 30,000. And then 60,000. Then last year, 25,000. This year, 78,000 people filled with the Holy Ghost. We're in a great day of outpouring of God's Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the greatest miracle that God performs today is to fill someone with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, we've all seen people miraculously healed. Just a couple of Sunday nights ago, we seen Sister Linda, who had been deaf for more than 30 years. Instantly, her ear was opened and healed. We've seen blind eyes open. We've seen the crippled to walk. Brother and Sister Witt was with me in a camp meeting where a man, I believe that was the night that you were there, that he was healed. Was that the night you were there? It was miraculous the way God healed him. He dragged himself in a horrible, horrible way. I don't mean to ridicule. I just mean to show you. But this man walked something like this. He would drag his leg like that. He could not pick his leg up. And God instantly healed him, and he run all the way around that camp meeting of 2,500 people. Praise the Lord. Now that's a great miracle. But the greatest miracle was when God filled that man with the Holy Ghost. I won't dwell long on that. I won't dwell very long on that. I'd like to talk about it. I could give you many examples of people being miraculously healed, but it's never a greater miracle. It's greater for someone to get the Holy Ghost than it is to get out of a wheelchair.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's when you really come alive in Jesus.
Amen.
Let me talk just a little bit about the great downpours. Why are these available? First of all, let me say that you cannot reap a harvest that does not exist. I don't care who you are. If the Apostle Paul was transformed to today, he could not reap a harvest that didn't exist. There has to be a harvest. There has to be someone to sow and to plant and to water with their tears and working with people. Usually people, when they get the Holy Ghost, they may not have been to church before, but somebody has been working with them. Thank God for the apostolic method that we have today of giving Bible studies in people's homes or in their business, or they might even come by the church during the day for a Bible study. God bless all of you people that are giving Bible studies. You couldn't do anything more apostolic than that. You couldn't do anything more apostolic than giving a Bible study, because that's the way they did in the early church. Went from house to house, teaching and instructing people and breaking bread and praying together. And that is very, very apostolic. And that has to take place. Somebody can't receive the Holy Ghost unless they know a little bit about it. They don't have to know a lot about it, but they have to know something about it. And they certainly have to be repented. One cannot receive the Holy Ghost without repenting.
Amen.
Isn't that true? They cannot. Revival starts with repentance. And it's very vital and important. Praise the Lord. Amen. But there must be empty vessels that are hungry for the Holy Ghost for there to be an outpouring. Now, it'd be hard for us to have 20 get the Holy Ghost here tonight, because there isn't 20 here that doesn't have it. Isn't it true?
Amen.
Unless somebody, some group would walk in here in the meantime, that's not impossible. Praise the Lord. And I pray that it happens. Let me talk a little bit about the qualifications. The qualifications of someone that is a skilled person in helping people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. First of all, that does not have to be a preacher. Now, a preacher ought to be able to pray somebody through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But it doesn't have to be a preacher. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't have to be an elder. It can be the newest convert in the church.
Amen.
It can be the newest one that has received the Holy Ghost. God has granted to you to have a ministry when you receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And He expects you to have a ministry.
Amen.
He expects you to be a minister. Hallelujah. I enjoy telling this story so much. I've told it so many times over the country, about everybody being a minister. I remember being in that same meeting that I mentioned where this man was miraculously healed from polio and arthritis. And Brother and Sister Witt was there, and Brother and Sister Tony Means was there. And I love both of these families very, very much. And it was on a Thursday night, and I was quite flattered that they came to the camp meeting I was preaching. They had heard me preach so much. But on their vacation, they came to hear me preach again, and in the camp meeting. And I wanted to visit with them, but I was obligated to go to a minister's banquet, so-called. Preacher's banquet is what they should have said. Preacher's banquet after the service. And I wanted to get to visit with them, and I didn't know how to do it. I had to be there. And then the superintendent asked me the right question. He didn't say, "Are these folks preachers? Are they preachers?" If he had asked that, I'd have said, no, they're not preachers. But he asked me if they were ministers. And I said, "Oh, yes, all four of them are ministers." So all four of them went to the banquet. Praise God. I think that's the will of God, for every Spirit-filled person to be a minister. That's how we're going to reach the world. There's not enough preachers to reach the world. Every saint of God is going to have to be a minister to witness, testify, to demonstrate the power of God. Really, your witness isn't worth anything unless you can demonstrate the power of God.
All right.
Your witness isn't worth very much unless you can demonstrate the power of God. I remember when my mother died, my father was also very critically ill. My wife was very critically ill. And I came home from Asia. She came home the Pacific, and I came home the Atlantic, and we was halfway around the world and away from each other, and we both had to come home, and we were quite concerned for my father. He was very, very ill, unable to preach, unable to conduct a tarrying service. It takes a lot of physical strength to conduct a tarrying service. The brethren practically had to carry me out of the Crusades every night in Louisiana. Every night, you just practically had to carry me out of those Crusades. But folks got the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. It's exhausting, physically exhausting for several reasons. One is because virtue goes from your body. Just as the virtue went to the woman that touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, there's virtue goes out of your body. When you minister to someone to be healed or to be filled with the Holy Ghost, virtue goes out of you. The word virtue means power. Power goes out of you to those individuals. And my father was just not able to do it. So I called in Brother Sexton, who was a Sunday school teacher. Never preached a sermon in his life. Never one time until the day the Lord took him. He never preached a single sermon. But I personally trained him to pray people through the Holy Ghost. And you know what? He personally prayed through 60 people in the next 30 days in that local church. 60 people. Never preached a sermon in his life. Never preached a sermon in his life. But simply give him the simple principles of praying people through to the Holy Ghost. My mother's death stirred that city, and many came and were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the things that we must be able to do is to be filled with faith. The faith that they will receive the Holy Ghost. You have to have faith when you're working with someone. If you're standing there praying with them, and all the time you're thinking, they're not going to get the Holy Ghost. They're not going to get the, they won't get the Holy Ghost. Because you'll transmit your doubt to them. You've got to believe they're going to get the Holy Ghost. You need to think, if they don't get it, you need to be totally astounded that they didn't get it. You should have faith. If they have unbelief, we need to work on that. But sometimes you can't help it when they're full of unbelief. But if you're full of unbelief, you can do something about that. God will fill the Holy Ghost. I said God will fill with the Holy Ghost. And we have to have that faith. When you lay your hand upon someone's head and you don't do it like you're got leprosy or something, like they got leprosy. Some people put their hand on somebody that sticks one finger out. It's like they think they got leprosy or something. That's not the way you do it. Right? You put your hand firmly on their head. And there is a transmission that goes from you. I don't know how to explain it, but there's a transmission of virtue and power that will go from you. And if you are believing, God is going to fill this person with the Holy Ghost. There will be a virtue go from you. And bless them. Hallelujah. That is the way that you transmit your faith to them. You know, you can say the right words, but if the right thoughts is not in your heart, the words aren't going to work. Faith is like a radio signal. It is transmitted, invisibly transmitted. And what you are is what you're going to transmit to that person. Not what you're saying. Though saying the right thing helps. But what you're saying isn't going to count if you're transmitting doubt from what you're feeling. Have to be able to transmit that faith to the new believer. And in addition to that, you need a proper method. So many times, not in this church, but in many churches, they use the wrong method. It's incredible the way some people get the Holy Ghost. You know, they get it in spite of them instead of because of them. Isn't that the truth? Amen. But a person can be anointed. A person can be anointed. A person can be full of the Holy Ghost and not have the right method. And they will not pray many people through the Holy Ghost. They will be very, very rare that they will pray somebody through the Holy Ghost. I could give you a multitude of examples. I'll give you one example. I remember going to Pakistan. I'd been in India, and I was trying to get to Pakistan, and I couldn't communicate with the missionaries because of the Kashmir war that was on between India and Pakistan was fighting over the Kashmir. And for that reason, I couldn't send a letter, I couldn't make a phone call, couldn't send a telegram, but we did have an appointment that I would arrive in Karachi a certain day, but hadn't been able to communicate for weeks and weeks. And so I went anyhow, not knowing whether they'd be there or not. And I arrived at Karachi very early in the morning. It wasn't even daylight. And when I went in, this character that was behind the desk, honest to God, he looked like a terrorist. Oh, he was frightening. And it was cool in there, and they had no heat. And he was wearing one of these long army coats. And oh, he looked mean. And he had just woke up. He had been sleeping somewhere there behind the desk and just woke up, and I was the only passenger off of that plane coming in there. And he terrified me. He really did. Whether he is a terrorist or not, he terrified me. And anyhow, he didn't say much. Took my passport, and I didn't have a visa for Pakistan. And normally, American citizens didn't have to have a visa. When they arrived, they would give you one on the spot. But I had been in India, and he seen that I had been in India. He said, "You cannot stay. You've got to leave on the next plane. You cannot stay here." And I tried to reason with him. I tried to convince him. I said, "Now the Americans are standing with the Pakistanians on this situation. We've even supplied you with planes and weapons, and I'm an American." He said, "I don't make the rules. The rule is, if you've been in India, you can't come in Pakistan." And he said, "You've got to leave on the next plane." Well, I was so frustrated. I hadn't seen anybody that I knew. And so I just walked over to the side. And about that time, there was some guy come walking close to me, big as I am. I didn't know there was another one in the world. But he never stopped. In fact, he told me, he said, "I will not stop. I will not stop to talk to you." And he just kept on walking. And he said, "Get to immigration as soon as you can at 8 o'clock. And don't talk to anybody but the head of immigration." And he just kept on walking and never stopped. So, praise the Lord. When 8 o'clock turned around or got close to 8 o'clock, I went outside and there was a preacher, a Pakistani preacher, waiting for me. I don't know how he recognized me, but he did. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, I wanted him to take me over to the Pakistani immigration's office. And I'd had some experience, not with Pakistani people, but I'd had lots of experience in foreign countries. And I knew that if I got to the head of immigration, that I must not talk to those lesser guys. If you talk to them, they'll tie you up for days. And because that's just red tape, you know. And there would have been no way. And so when I went in this room, this one big room, was just about the size of this church building. And there must have been 60 desks in there. And I looked down the hall, and there was a sign in English and Arabic, "Head of Immigration." And I knew that's where I needed to get. So I started running, and they started yelling at me. They was all yelling at me to stop. Well, I had nothing to lose. I had to leave anyhow on the next plane. So I just kept on going. I just kept on going. And I finally, and some of them started chasing me. But when I got the head of immigration, he invited me in. Well, they respect authority. And so they backed off. And he said, "What can I do for you?" And I explained that I was an American citizen and wanted to stay there for several weeks and to visit one of our missions. He said, "No problem. No problem at all." And he took my passport and he looked at it and he said, "You've been in India." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You've got to leave on the next plane. You can't stay here." And I tried to reason with him the same way that I had with that guy at the airport. But I got the same answer. And then he said to me, "Please sit down." And I looked at these little chairs, and they were just about this wide. And they had arms on them. Arms on these chairs. It was an impossible situation. And I said, "I can't sit down." He said, he was so puzzled, he said, "You must sit down." I said, "I can't sit down." He was a Muslim, you know, with his Muslim cap on the back of his head. So he sent a male secretary all over the building looking for me a chair that I could sit on. And finally the secretary came back and just shrugged his shoulders and said, "Not one in the building. Not one chair in the building he could sit on." And this immigration's head looked so troubled, and I thought, "Oh, great. There's a quirk in their personality and in their culture that it's extremely important for you to sit down in their office." I didn't know that. I'd taken a shot in the dark. I said, I tell you what I'll do. I will forgive you that you don't have a chair for me to sit on if you'll let me stay just 2 days. He said, okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just took a shot in the dark. Evidently, the Holy Ghost inspired it to my mind. Of course, the moral of this story is it pays to be fat. They let me in there for 2 days, and I went to Lahore, which was Lahore, Pakistan, which was 900 miles away across the country. And when I got there, Brother Corcoran, I don't hesitate to tell this story because he loves to tell it too. Now, he had been there 2 years, and only 35 people had received the Holy Ghost, only 35 in 2 years. And he had them all there, all those that had received the Holy Ghost. He had them all there, and he said, Brother Cole, I want you to give a seminar on how to receive the Holy Ghost and teach these people how to pray people through the Holy Ghost. I said, all right, I'll do it. I used exactly the same paper that I'm using tonight. That piece of paper is 35 years old. This is not new stuff with me. And so I said, well, how many of you got here tarrying for the Holy Ghost? He said, I don't have any. I said, well, that's an interesting situation. How are we going to demonstrate? And he said, in fact, your interpreter is a Muslim. I have hired him. He's a Muslim, and he's teaching me the language. And so he was going to be my interpreter. And you know what? Right in the middle of this Bible study, God gave that interpreter the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He started speaking with other tongues. God gave him the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So the one got the Holy Ghost. Then the next day we went to a country church, and they had a mammoth crowd. They had a humongous crowd. And many of them, most of them, had not yet received the Holy Ghost. And so we prayed with them, and God filled 67 of them with the Holy Ghost in that one service. And, of course, the next day I had to leave. They deported me out of the country. But these people were anointed. They were called of God. And guess what? By the end of the month, 200 had received the Holy Ghost. By the end of the second month, 500 had received the Holy Ghost. And by the end of the fourth year, 5,000 had received the Holy Ghost. You see, they were called, praise the Lord. They were called and they were anointed. All they needed was a method. They needed to know how to pray these people through to the Holy Ghost. I could tell you many stories like that, but don't have time to do it tonight. You folks are used to me preaching 30 minutes on a Sunday night. Or sometimes 40. Not very many times more than that. Isn't that right? Sure, that's right. Say amen out there. That's right. Every once in a while I have to tune you up and go a little longer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I want to hurry on here tonight. We need to look at some things that the church in general. When I say the church, I don't mean this local church, but I mean the church in general. The United Pentecostal Church International that we love so much. Many of the things that we do are traditions that we have carried over from way in the past. Amen. And they are not Bible traditions. Amen. They are not Bible traditions. Let me talk about some of them. And I'm going to use the scripture to prove what I do. Everything I say tonight is going to be in accordance to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Is that all right? Amen. We're going to do it the Bible way. Amen. And I may kill a few holy cows here tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of you have never seen anything else but the way we practice these things, but we need to know it. I remember when I first came home from the mission field and attended the camp meeting, I seen a man receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he really got it. I heard him speak with tongues clearly, and the joy of the Lord came upon him. He got the whole ball of wax at one time. Amen. And this is the way he got it. He was down on his knees like this. You know. Now, I don't know who started that. It sure wasn't the Apostle Peter.
That's right.
It wasn't the Apostle Paul.
No.
I think it was John Wesley. I need about six wonderful, strong men to help me get up. Did you get that on that video back there? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There were four men around that character to help him receive the Holy Ghost. He really got it. One of those men had a hold of his wrist with his left hand with an absolute death grip. It's a wonder his hand hadn't withered and died from the lack of blood. The truth. And with his right hand, he had a hold of his elbow, and he was leaping. And every time he would leap, he would nearly tear that poor man's arm out of his shoulder. But you see, he wanted to help him get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You're laughing because you've seen it somewhere. And then another brother on the other side of him was, in back of him, in fact, was giving him a massage. Now, I mean, he was getting a AAA massage. I don't know if he was putting him in joint or out of joint. But believe me, he was different when he left than when he came. He was giving him a rub down. But he wanted to help him get the Holy Ghost. And then there was a brother, and by the way, this is not a parable. This really happened. This really happened just the way I'm telling it. I've seen it with my own eyes. And the brother on the other side of him was giving him this. Right in his ear. And I know the poor man's head was just going like that. And then one in front of him, this is the truth. One in front of him had his hands on his head, giving him this. It's a wonder it hadn't broke his neck. You know the reason I think he got the Holy Ghost? He was thinking, if I don't get the Holy Ghost right quick, they're going to kill me. My old Uncle Jimmy Shirley was the union negotiator for the Plumbers Union all his life. And I don't know if you know union negotiators or not, but most of them swear every breath they take. And that was just the kind of guy he was. What you laughing so hard for, Brother Johnson? You know what I'm talking about. He was a union negotiator, and he tarried for the Holy Ghost 3 years. And I asked him one day, I said, Uncle Jim, how come you tarried so long? He said, I only tarried one night. I said, that night I got the Holy Ghost. He said, those other 3 years I was praying that God would help me to control my temper and I'd not beat those people up that was beating me up. And you know what? When he got the Holy Ghost, he was laying flat on his back, and one brother was sitting straddle of him just like sitting on a horse. He finally just give up. He got the Holy Ghost. You know what has happened, folks? The devil steals our faith away from us. And when your faith is stolen away, you'll substitute physical exercise. All right. There is no substitute for faith. You've got to believe. When I go to approach people to receive the Holy Ghost, I have faith in my heart. I am totally astounded when they don't get the Holy Ghost. That's important. But you transmit what's in your heart. Amen. Another problem, the reason it's so hard for great numbers to get the Holy Ghost is because we've got it in our head. If one or two gets it, it's real. But if more than two in one night gets the Holy Ghost, it's not real. They know everything. They know not to smoke, drink, commit adultery. They know everything. And when they come, they're making a consecration. Isn't that true?
That's right.
Hallelujah. But those that are just, when you're having great revival, people come off the street, it's incredible. They don't know anything. It is astounding how little some people know about God and the Word. I remember one time when pastoring in another place, in fact in Wheeling, in the mission there, had two teenagers, high school kids, got the Holy Ghost. And they come to me one day and said they were seniors, you know, and said to me one day, Brother Cole, we've been reading our Bible, And we come upon a word that we didn't know what it meant. And we looked it up in the dictionary, and guess what? We're doing it. They wanted to know what to do. I said, you need to stop it till you get married. It's amazing that people don't even know that fornication and adultery is a sin in the world that you and I are living today. Isn't that right? It's incredible. And people will come into church, receive the Holy Ghost, and maybe walk right out those doors and right out on the sidewalk and light up a cigarette right in front of you after they've just talked in tongues. Someone says, well, nobody had to tell me to quit smoking. I promise you somebody somewhere, someplace convinced you that cigarettes was wrong in your lifetime. And the moment you got the Holy Ghost quickened that to your attention. The Holy Ghost brings to your remembrance. And you cannot remember something that you have not been taught. That's the reason why we need to study the Word of God. Hallelujah. Somebody can be in the church for a year, have the Holy Ghost, and suddenly one day read something. My God, I didn't know that was in the Bible. And have to quit something. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Why? Why didn't you tell them? Because we're patient with babes in the Lord. We're not going to expect a baby to be able to walk and hold down a job. Isn't that true? They've got to learn to crawl, walk, and grow in the Lord. And we're going to love them. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is this doing you good?
Yes, sir.
Am I doing all right?
Amen.
I'm not taking a lot of time either. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So many times we ask people, have you received the Holy Ghost? And steal their joy. Why? Because you should know whether they have the Holy Ghost or not. Don't ever ask somebody that's just received the Holy Ghost, did you receive the Holy Ghost? They'll expect you to know whether they received the Holy Ghost or not. I remember after the teaching that I've told you about, I had teaching. We had a sister in the Ravenswood Church, where Brother Atkins is now, doing a great job there. Getting a new building ready for dedication. The first convert to receive the Holy Ghost there was an elderly lady. She had fallen that day, sprained her ankle. She could hardly walk. We practically carried her to church. But that was the night she got the Holy Ghost. And when the Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost, she just walked all over the church. Wasn't as big as this building, of course, but she walked all over the church. And God had healed her. She spoke in tongues for an hour. You remember that, Sister Cole? And we were so young then. Sister Cole was only 18 years old then. That's been 100 years ago. No. Not 100 years ago. Yeah, we were pastoring. Pray for me. Anyhow. Now I forget what I was going to tell you. Oh, yes. She got the Holy Ghost and she was so full of joy, she was hugging everybody. Hugged me, hugged everybody in the church. You know, we don't make it a practice in this church of men and women hugging each other that aren't married to each other or family. We don't make that a practice because that can lead to problems. Isn't that true? But when they just first get the Holy Ghost, we hate to deprive them, you know. And them so they want to put their arms around you. I just let the Lord have His way for the first night. Then we teach them later that we don't practice that. Don't want to discourage them. But she was hugging everybody. She was full of joy. But I had been taught that they must say it. You remember that, Elder?
How are you, teacher?
Yeah. I probably taught you. And she was just shouting and talking in tongues for an hour. Healed. Talking in tongues. And I said, Sister Smith, stand at the pulpit. She's out in the church here somewhere. Sister Smith, did you get the Holy Ghost tonight? And she said, I don't know. And her joy was gone, just like that. Just like you snapped your finger. Her joy was gone. You know what she was thinking? If you don't know whether I got the Holy Ghost or not, I probably didn't get it.
That's right.
Amen. So don't ask that question. Say, did you speak words you couldn't understand?
That's right.
Did you speak sentences you couldn't understand? Did anybody hear her speak with tongues and get a witness of it? Yeah, we've heard her speak with tongues. Then read to them the 10th chapter of Acts. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And we've got some diehard, hard-headed nuts in the UPC that's now saying that even the tongues is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because their doctrine that they've been teaching is falling apart with this great revival that's coming by. Their doctrine is, and they're willing to say anything to support their doctrine. Let me tell you, it has always been the evidence, and it's still the evidence. I said it's still the evidence. And people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. We got one man in the UPC that his whole livelihood depends on taxing me. If I'd ever change and he wouldn't be able to tax me, he'd quit making a living. He publishes a newspaper every month, and 50% of it is attacking Billy Cole. He's going to go down the tubes whenever I die. Bless his sweet heart. I love him. Believe me, I love him. I'd like to love him to death. I just love to put my arms around him and scream. Praise the Lord. Well, we're getting carried away here tonight. Here's another holy cow. Everybody say a holy cow.
Holy cow.
And that is, people will say, yeah, I spoke with tongues, but I'm not satisfied. Let me give you a classic example of where that happened. Out in Sacramento, California, we had 15 get the Holy Ghost. And back in those days, I used to have them sit on chairs. Well, that just blew the UPC's mind. I don't do that much anymore. But we did it in those days, and because folks are getting the Holy Ghost in such volumes, that method is no longer conducive or convenient, because we have so many getting the Holy Ghost. And but anyhow, we had them sitting on chairs, and there was 8 spoke with tongues real quickly, real quickly. Don't get weary on me, folks. I'm just about through with this lesson. And 8 of them spoke with tongues clearly. And so I asked you, did you speak words and sentences you couldn't understand? And they, 7 of them agreed. And I said to others that had the Holy Ghost, did you hear them speak with tongues? I'd get 2 or 3 witnesses for each one. Did you hear them speak with tongues? Oh yeah, we heard them speak. And so 7 stood. And this 8th one that I had heard myself didn't stand. I said to her, Sister Whitehead, I've seen her in every conference for years and years after that. She'd come to me and say, do you remember me? And of course I would. But anyhow, I said, why didn't you stand? Well, she knew why she hadn't stood. First of all, I said, did you speak words you couldn't understand? Sentences? She said, I couldn't understand nothing. After 2 or 3 seconds, I couldn't understand anything. I was just saying something. I don't have the least idea what I said. And I said, well, why didn't you stand when I asked for you? She said, because I'm not satisfied. And I said, oh, what does that mean? And she knew what it meant. She said, Sister so-and-so told me that when you get the real thing, it'll knock you down. Now, I don't know what scripture that is. Do you know?
No.
You know what scripture that is? That it'll knock you down when you get the real thing? I said, oh, I see. So I said to everybody, I said, let's all really praise the Lord again. Let's really praise the Lord. And so they did. And instantly she started speaking with tongues again. And I had taught her, she was sitting, I had taught her to relax. I had taught her to open her hand, because when you grip your hands, that resists the Holy Ghost. When you grit your teeth or grit your hand, it resists the moving of the Spirit of God in your body. And so I whispered to her, and Brother Price, the superintendent, heard what I said to her, and he laughs about it till this day. Because I whispered in her ear while she was talking in tongues, I said, "Now, grip your hands real tight." She gripped her hands, and I said, "Now, grit your teeth just a little bit." And when she did, bam, she went out of that chair and hit the floor, kabam, all right, flat of her back. And she said, "That's it! That's it!" You see, all she had to do was resist the power, and it knocked her down. Before, she was loosened up and letting the power flow through her. And she resisted the power, it knocked her down. Amen. Another thing is, when you're working with somebody, you have to be able to recognize tongues. You remember a few weeks ago, I went to Chicago for one night, for Friday night, and 58 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that service in Chicago. And I looked down, and here was this group praying with one woman who looked to me like she was speaking with tongues. And it wasn't convenient for me to get down there and listen myself. It was very difficult for me to get down there. And so I got one of them's attention. I got some of them's attention. I said, "Is that woman speaking with tongues?" Because they were to let me know if the person they were working with was speaking with tongues, they were to let me know. And so I said, "Is she speaking with tongues?" And the guy looked up to me and said, "I don't know. I can't understand what she's saying." Ah, give me a break. Give me a break. You have to be able to recognize when someone is speaking with tongues. And when they do speak with tongues, tell them they're speaking with tongues, so they don't think they're nuts or something. Isn't that true? When you suddenly start speaking a language you can't understand, you may feel like you're crazy or something. Tell them that's speaking in tongues. That's God speaking through you, and encourage them to go ahead and speak. Another thing is, when does the joy come? When does the joy come? There's two things that you must know before the joy comes. Number one, you must understand that you have, in fact, received the Holy Ghost. Not just because you received it. People speak with tongues and receive the Holy Ghost and don't get joy if they don't believe they have received. That's the reason why there's people who have great joy who have not received the Holy Ghost, because they believe they have received it. They believe they've received the Holy Ghost, and as a result of their faith in receiving it, they have great joy. They'll even dance without the Holy Ghost. Isn't that true?
Sure.
Even in denominational churches, they would dance because they believe they have the Holy Ghost. Number one, you got to believe you got it. Number two, you got to know what the Holy Ghost is. You've got to know a little bit about it. And the more you learn about the Holy Ghost, the more joy you ought to have. That's the reason why we sing that old chorus, "Sweeter as the years go by." Because you learn more about the Holy Ghost. I remember cutting an ad out of the paper. Sister Cole would have read this. I have no idea why I did not keep it. I cannot imagine why I didn't keep such an article out of the paper. But it was a newspaper story of a woman and a man that received a stone from her mother before she died. And she made the remark to them, "Don't get rid of this stone until you find out what it is." And so they kept it. They didn't like it. It was kind of an ugly stone. They didn't like it. And they just laid it around wherever, on the desk or wherever, because it was of no real importance to them, except that her mother had gave it to them. And they were quite poor. And they wanted to get rid of it one day. And they said, "Well, we promised Mom that we'd find out what this was." And when they found out what it was a uncut diamond. And when it was cut, it was worth $3 million. Guess when they got their joy? They didn't get their joy when they got it. They got their joy when they found out what they had. Isn't that true? And when you find out that when you have the Holy Ghost, God is living on the inside of you, then you'll get the joy. Isn't that true? Let me hurry on. Amen. When does the joy come? Let me talk to you about when you begin to work with someone. Don't put your hands on them too quickly when they're tearing. Wait for the Spirit of God to move on them. Don't put your hands on them on their forehead or on their shoulder or somewhere where it's appropriate. Be careful where you put your hands on people when you're ministering to them. You can't just be reckless and put your hands anywhere on each other. That is not proper. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Proper place is on the shoulder or on the forehead. Lay your hand upon them and lay it on them firmly. But don't put your hands on too quickly until the Spirit of God, and when faith comes in your heart that God is going to fill them with the Holy Ghost, that is the time to put your hand on them. Amen. And when you put your hand on them, don't take your hand off until they get the Holy Ghost. When you put your hand on, it inspires faith. When you take your hand off, it inspires doubt. The immediate response is, oh, they've given up on me. They've given up on me. I'm not going to make it. So be careful when you put your hands on and keep them on. Number two, be enthusiastic. Don't let my little illustration of praying around that man that was kneeling hinder you from being enthusiastic. There's a difference between beating somebody in the back with your fist and being enthusiastic. We need to be, because there's a very close relationship between enthusiasm and faith. Between enthusiasm and faith. In fact, one of the most important things to hinder an altar service is someone standing around like this.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Christ.
You're a tremendous hindrance.
Right.
You're a tremendous hindrance. Everybody needs to pray. If you're not bold enough to go lay your hands up on someone, you can at least put up your hands to God and pray for them and bless them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Get involved in praying for them. And it's very important to be enthusiastic when you're praying for somebody. And the next one is to keep your eyes open. Everybody say, keep your eyes open. We've always been taught to close our eyes every time we pray. But when you're praying with someone to be healed, you're praying with someone to receive the Holy Ghost, keep your eyes open. Pay attention to what's going on. Look at them. See them. And keep your ears open. You need to know when they're speaking with tongues. You can't tell it. If you're doing this while they're getting the Holy Ghost, you don't hear one thing they're saying. You may be jigging and jiving and going on, and there's nothing wrong with you. And off in the ninth heaven somewhere, and they're talking in tongues.
Yeah.
Well, when they cool off, you cool off. And then you turn around and say, now let him come in. Hey, where have you been? He's been in for 30 minutes. You know what you're going to do? You're going to create a chronic seeker out of that person. You're going to have them seeking for something they already have, and so you've got a chronic seeker on your hands. Amen. Pay attention. Keep your eyes open and pay attention. Is this good teaching?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pay attention. And we have this little custom now that if you're working with someone and they start speaking with tongues, and the worker that's praying with them will stick their thumb up like this. That means the person I'm praying with is talking in tongues right now. We did that. And it lets me know you got the Holy Ghost. And it inspires faith. You know what else it does? It gives honor to the worker. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. It encourages the worker that you have recognized that he has accomplished something in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Say to them while they're working, if they're praying in the right way, say, that's it. That's it. You're doing good. You're doing great. You're getting close to the Lord. That's the way to talk to them.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you get two workers on the opposite side of each other, and they're saying opposite. One's hollering, hold on! And across the other side, they're hollering, let loose! Now, that can be confusing to a new convert. Hold on. Let loose. One of them said, give the Lord your tongue! And he went, yeah. Well, what would you do if somebody said that to you? It wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault. It was whoever told them to give their tongue. We got to learn how to talk to new converts. If you want them to hang on, don't say hang on. Say, you're doing good. Don't stop. That's what hang on means. You're doing good. Don't stop what you're doing. Let loose. What does that mean? One person said, let loose, and he went... I'll tell you what let loose means. That means yield your flesh to God. So that's what you ought to say. You ought to say what you mean. And what you mean is yield your flesh to God. Lord. And when you say give your tongue to God. You don't mean give your tongue to God. You mean let God control your tongue. Let God form the words. Keep giving your voice. So say the right thing. Is that all right?
That's all right.
And that will help. Praise the Lord. I was praying with one guy in Illinois somewhere, and we had a bunch get the Holy Ghost that night. And this was a crusty character. He must have been a farmer. His hands was hard. You know, when you shake hands with somebody that's got hard hands, well, be careful how you deal with them, because they're rough customers sometimes. And anyhow, he was over there praying, and the brethren was around him praying, and the Holy Ghost was on him. He was just about to get the Holy Ghost. So I went over to fine-tune what he was doing. I went over to give him some fine-tune instructions, and and it made him mad. It made him so mad. He jerked his arms down, and he says, what in the blankety blank do you want me to do? I was just shocked. Anything can happen when people are praying for the Holy Ghost. But you know that old boy got the Holy Ghost that night. He'd been tarrying for 25 years. And he got the Holy Ghost that night. His pastor was astounded when he got the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Once you hear them, I'm just about to conclude now. Once you hear them, just 5 minutes more. What is that? I say that a half hour ago. That makes it easier for you. Now listen to this. This is a very important point, folks. Once you hear them speak with tongues, don't tell them to say hallelujah or praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, I love you, Jesus. That type of thing has already served its purpose. Tell them you're speaking with tongues. Keep on speaking. Don't tell them to say hallelujah. You'd be surprised how many people start talking in tongues, and somebody working with them will say hallelujah. They have to stop speaking in tongues to say it. Isn't that true? I know these are very elementary things, but it's things that we practice, maybe not in this local church, but throughout the United Pentecostal Church, we practice them. Hallelujah. Encourage them. Give your voice. But let the Lord form the words. You cannot speak with tongues if you don't give your voice. You have got to you have to do the speaking. God is not going to create some mystic voice to come out of your throat without you moving your mouth. You have to speak. And God will form the words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Well, I hope this has helped you tonight. Would you stand with me right now? Praise God. Praise God. There just might be someone here tonight that hasn't yet received the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they would? This message was not designed to inspire their faith. This message was designed to instruct the worker. But someone can receive the Holy Ghost anyhow if they desire to receive it. Amen. Let me tell you what I want you to do. I want you to shake hands with somebody on your right hand and someone on your left hand, and look right at them, especially if it's your wife or your husband, and say to them, do you have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues? Go ahead and ask them. Ask your wife. Ask your husband, do you have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues? All right. I want everybody to do what I ask you to do now. Now then, let me tell you what I want you to do. Remember what they said to you. I want you to turn around and shake hands with somebody behind you and someone in front of you and ask them the same question. Do you have the Holy Ghost like Brother Cole was talking? Now, some of you may have to get out of your seat. There's people in the back row that nobody's shaking hands with. Come on, folks. Open your eyes. Pay attention.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shake hands with them and say, you got the Holy Ghost like Brother Cole was talking about? Amen. Hallelujah. Now remember who told you, yes, I've got the Holy Ghost. There may have been two or three tell you they got the Holy Ghost. Well, now I want you to go back to them. If they told you, I got the Holy Ghost, go back to them now. Shake hands with them again and say, do you need a renewing in the Holy Ghost? Do you need a refilling? Ask them. Ask your wife. Do you need a renewing?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now some of you I know,
listen to me, some of you I know think you need to pray through every day, and that's probably real good. Yeah, and you think you're backslid if you don't talk in tongues every day. That's not who I was meaning here. There may be someone backslid that got the Holy Ghost years ago and hasn't talked in tongues for years and years, and they need a renewing in the Holy Ghost. That's who I meant. Now, if someone told you, no, Brother Cole, or Brother so-and-so, or sister, no, I've never spoke with tongues. I've never received the Holy Ghost. I want you to take a hold of their hand right now, even if it's two or three. Take a hold of their hand right now. Somebody told you they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. Go take a hold of their hand. And if somebody said, yes, I need a renewing of the Holy Ghost, take a hold of their hand and look right at them. That's it. And I want you to walk right up here with them. Don't make anybody come, but just tell them that Brother Cole wants you to come up here and stand, and we're going to bless you. He wants to bless you tonight. Would you come? Just come right on. Anyone. If somebody told you they didn't get the Holy Ghost, they didn't have the Holy Ghost, they need a renewing, take a hold of their hand and walk up here with them. That's it. Walk up here with them. Take a hold of their hand. Walk up here with them. That's it. Come on. No music. Just walk up here. Praise God. Is that everyone? All right. Amen. Come on, folks. Receive the Holy Ghost. We're going to bless you. We're going to bless you tonight. Now, I want you to remember these instructions. Saints of God, I want everyone to come and surround these folks. We're going to pray for them. We're not going to rub them or pound them or beat them or anything like that, but we're going to get excited and pray that God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. How many do we have that's never received the Holy Ghost before? I know this young lady. And anyone else? Anyone else that has never, ever spoke with tongues before? All right. Oh, little Christopher. All right. He wants to get the Holy Ghost. And we've got some little children that haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. All right. Tiny little ones. Let's everyone, amen. Let me give you these instructions now, and remember these instructions. Remember, you remember that I have preached that you cannot receive the Holy Ghost unless you are repented. Amen? But let me tell you something else. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost while you are repenting. You must repent of your sins, understand that God has forgiven you, and stop repenting. Everybody say, stop repenting. You can't receive the Holy Ghost until you stop repenting. Amen. And stop repenting and then start worshiping the Lord. Lift your head up and begin to worship the Lord. And first of all, you need to be zealous to receive the Holy Ghost. You need to earnestly desire, because the Bible teaches us that God is a Spirit and God is the Holy Spirit. And what happens is, when you receive the Holy Ghost, God takes a part of Himself and puts it right on the inside of you, enough to fill you up. We call it being filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know what? The truth is, you're filled with Holy God. And you have to desire Him with all your heart in order to receive the Holy Ghost. Number two, guess where the Holy Ghost is going to come from? Right straight from the Lord Jesus Christ. I have seen thousands receive the Holy Ghost, but I have never, ever give a single individual the Holy Ghost. It's not mine to give. I cannot give it to you. Amen. But the Holy Ghost is going to come from the Lord. So get your attention right on Jesus